Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Slamfire Radio, episode 112 for June 19th, 2015. I am one of your overly excited, enthusiastic hosts, Trevor the Frelate, also known as Ron Burgundy.
Welcome back.
Come back here every week for some reason.
Oh, every week. I thought it was like this was like part two of this week's show or something, and you didn't tell me that there was going to be multiple editings going on.
You know, it's not the first time I've said welcome back, and it's not the first time you've not gotten it.
It will happen again.
It's like the italics thing. If it's in italics, I don't have to read it, correct?
Oh.
That took two shows and 3 or 4 years of podcasting for me to clue into, so.
And we'll still talk about it.
It's at this point where the listeners are going, all right, enough.
What are we listening to anyway?
Guns.
Guns? We like guns.
I like guns.
Owen may or may not be joining us later on. He's busy.
He's a slacker. No,
he's not a slacker. He's very busy. Or he's a slacker. I'm sorry. I forgot we were throwing Owen under the bus tonight.
Just now, yeah.
Just now.
Yeah.
Just found out, apparently.
Apparently.
There he goes.
Stick to the script. Guy's not here. Under bus he goes.
There we go. The thump.
We have a ton of email this week.
Holy crap, do we ever.
Every time, like, I open up the email, there was another one. But yep. I only opened up the email because there was a new one.
Yeah, we got a lot.
We do have a lot.
Well, why don't we get going then so that we don't waste all our time.
Correct. Why don't you tell us what you did this week in guns?
All right. I shot a baby gopher in the face with a shotgun.
Well, then, I think we're done. We can wrap the show. Oh, heavens. That's awesome and disturbing all at the same time.
Well, look, it's a gopher, right? So, first of all...
No, it's not a gopher. It's a woodchuck or
It's a groundhog. It was a groundhog. So, it needed to be shot because...
You calling our woodchucks and groundhogs gophers is like us calling grouse partridge.
You know, you've got a point.
I do.
And I will not cede this point, however. I wanted to let you know that you won this time.
This time.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Now, like Pierre-Luc would say, all right, I've conceded, move on, you're acting like a child.
And I will continue to do so. Anyhow, I was out four-wheeling, and we were driving past this cow pasture. And what should poke its head up out of
its tiny little baby head.
Well, yes. That is, in fact, correct. Actually, it was mommy or daddy. I didn't check. One or the other popped their head up first. It was a big one.
To check for the all clear.
And then this little one pops up, runs out, and hides underneath the four-wheeler.
Brilliant.
So, not the smartest groundhog.
Darwin Award.
Yeah. So, grab the shotgun, and so little baby groundhog bit it first because it was the closest. I did let it walk away from the four-wheeler a little ways, so I didn't blow up the four-wheeler too.
It's important.
And
now,
then,
did it walk or did it kind of crawl like a baby does?
No, it wasn't that babyish. I mean, it was probably a few months old. It wasn't, it just looked like a small groundhog. It wasn't like a little baby, cute little Bambi Disney movie.
Well,
sort of was.
It was 3 months old, probably.
It was kind of cute. Well, until I shot in the face, but
yeah, that'll uncute it. Oh.
And then whoever was sticking their head up out of the hole there, they got the second blast and took them out. And then there, we saw a third one just off to the left, and so another round went in, and another round came out very quickly, and that one did about 3 somersaults before it hit the ground and stopped twitching. So that was kind of funny to see it kind of go flying. It was like in the movies. You know, normally the other two, you just shoot them, they just drop and die, right? But it was like in the movies. They went flying. So.
Wow. I'm very envious. The closest I've come to shooting a groundhog this year was almost putting my car in the ditch while driving home. I'm talking to Bolivar on the phone. And groundhog! I wish that's what it was. We're supposed to have a no speakerphone rule. He does not put me on speakerphone, especially when his wife and children are around, because you just never know.
So unless you're recording the show, basically you're a minefield.
Well, you never know, right?
Yeah.
So I'm driving. He's driving. So he's got me on speakerphone or hands-free or whatever, neglects to tell me that, neglects to tell me that his wife is in the car, and I see a groundhog, and I lose my freaking mind. There was some colorful language. The car was all over the road. And, yeah, so if she thought that I was a moron before.
And now she knows.
Yes. Yeah, it's sad. So anyway, well, that's awesome. You shot a family of woodchucks.
I thought, good for you. Groundhogs.
Yeah.
Woodchuck. Then you start doing the whole woodchuck, could-chuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, so other than that, the only other thing I did was, you know, shoot an Uzi.
That's all. You know, I'm just going to concede that it's a Matthew week.
Tom sent me his BRS-99, which isn't actually an Uzi because Uzis are, of course, prohibited up here. But it's pretty much the closest thing you can get to an Uzi in Canada.
Yeah, but in fairness, it's like me calling my old CZ-858 an AK.
Right, that's true. But I wanted to say Uzi, gotcha. And I want to say it again, Uzi. So
I see.
It does take Uzi mags. So, Uzi-ish.
Yep,
of course, the SKSD takes AK mags. We don't call it an AK.
No, we certainly
don't. All right, that's two for you for a lot.
I didn't even get to use that one on you.
So anyway, this one is non-restricted, which is even better. So, I've had it out a few times now. We've put quite a bit of ammo through it. It is For what it is accurate. We were hitting pop cans out to about 100 yards with it. I mean,
wow,
pop cans for, you know, the sight radius is about 12 inches long, and then there's an 18-inch barrel beyond the sights that's shrouded, of course, with a fake can. So it's got a fake silencer on it just to kind of cover up that skinny, weird-looking 18.5-inch barrel. Mm. And, but yeah, no, it was a lot of fun to shoot. We shot it from the hip. We shot it one-handed. We shot it two-handed. We shot it with this stock. Out the stock in, we shot every configuration you could think of.
A whopping 5 rounds at a time.
Five at a time. They need to make a pistol version of this so we can at least get 10-round mags for it.
Well, it already is. Just cut the stock off.
Yeah, cut it off, and then get a couple of them registered as pistols, and then there you go. We can have 10-round mags, which would be at least a bit cooler than five.
So why didn't you shoot the groundhog in the face with the Uzi?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't have it with me, or I woulda.
Makes sense.
I was four-wheeling. I wasn't taking Tom's Uzi. I'm going to keep calling it an Uzi,
sure.
Even though it's a BRS-99.
I wish Steve Lee was here so you could ask him.
I know. Hey, Steve. Yeah. I got an Uzi. You got an Uzi? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
You kind of messed that up. It's Steve, do you have an Uzi?
Yeah.
I was doing it like he was talking to me.
Oh,
I was reversing the story because this time I got the Uzi, even though it's a BRS-99. Anyway, I didn't want to take his gun out on the four-wheeler through the mud, through the dust, through the crap. So I had my old Warrior shotgun, the little 16-inch barrel 20-gauge. So that's what I had with me when I was shooting the groundhogs. But
I see.
Yeah. No, it's been a fun week gun-wise. I shot a bunch of Tannerite.
Mm-hmm.
Tannerite is fun.
Matthew shot a baby gopher in the face.
Shot a baby gopher in the face with a shotgun.
My wife's here, so I figured she needed to know that. It had to be done.
Look, there
right
were cows that could have broken their legs on the gopher holes.
It was rabbit. He was not a rabbit.
It was a rabid rabbit.
Oh, she seems to approve by you of your gopher shooting, Matthew. I'm
there
impressed.
There we go. I'm impressed as well.
She's desensitized.
She's getting there. Yeah. So anyway, that those are the highlights. I did a couple other gun-related things, but nothing I haven't talked about before. So I'll let you go because I know you've got a list and a half. So why don't you tell us what you've done this week?
Sure. Unfortunately, I did not get to shoot anything in the face. I know.
Well,
right?
Why don't we just wrap this up then?
There will be no more highlights. There's no highs this week, except for our upcoming interview, which will be really cool.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. So, shout out to Andrew Barr. He traveled from St. John to teach his first ever NFA RSO course. The listeners may recall that I was supposed to go get trained with Andrew back in April to become a instructor of the NFA range safety officer class, but I kind of gave up on that idea, you know. But I did want to take the course, see what it was like, and get certification because my club is no longer affiliated with the Royal New Brunswick Rifle Association. So I don't put any value in my Royal New Brunswick Rifle Association RSO course.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you have to be a member to be a valid for that certificate to be valid. So if you're not a member of the RNBRA, then that certificate's not valid. So you might as well have another one.
Right. I've never joined, and I wasn't even an affiliate member through our club, so the card was pretty much useless.
Yeah.
So as long as I now, I don't think you have to. You do not, as a matter of fact, have to be a member of the NFA in order to maintain your NFA certification. Now, the RNBRA course was only good for 4 years. There are 5 years. This one, I don't know if it expires. I forgot to ask. But anyway, I mean, the course was good. It was Andrew's first time teaching a course. And I think he's got some natural teaching ability there that's going to continue to develop as he gets more experience teaching courses.
That's good.
You know, every course is filled with guys who challenge the philosophy that the NFA is putting forth. You get shooters in the class, and we had one who has been a competitive bullseye shooter for 30 years. So how many times do you think over the weekend we heard, well, in bullseye, we do this. Well, in bullseye, we do that.
Well, we're not shooting bullseye, buddy.
Yeah. This is teaching you how to run a line on a rifle range for the public.
Like you going, well, in Ipsic, that's not what we do.
Right. And it's like Andrew was waiting for me to do that because every once in a while he'd make an Ipsic reference. I'm like, I know what I'm doing, dude. So anyway, as in, I know why I'm here.
Yeah.
Right. I know I'm here to take an RSO
different class.
Course.
You're not here to take an IPSC course.
Yeah. So I did well. I got the high mark on the written exam. And I'd like to think that I had the best practical as well, given that I brought out a flashlight like we were told to, yet the instructor didn't do, given that I remembered to ask if there were any questions, which the instructor didn't do. So, I'm just
but
breaking.
Not balls. That you're bragging that you're the best or anything.
Dude, I'm always bragging.
Yes, and you are always the best. So.
I mean, well, I don't know about that, but I'd like to think I am. No,
right.
I'm just kidding. No, it was a good class, and I did learn a few things, which was awesome. You know, you always got to go in. You're never done learning.
Right.
You can take 100 classes, and you're going to learn something every time. Even if you learn one thing, what the hell? Especially if somebody else is paying your tuition.
Yep.
So it was good. So I recommend that if there is an NFA range or RSO instructor in your region, go get trained and help out around your range. It's a good course. It's worth taking. The cost was $50.
Well, it's not bad.
So, and you remember how you and I took the RNBRA one and we walked away literally shaking our heads going, that should have been 3 hours?
Yes.
Well, this one was.
It was 3 hours, and it needed to be 3 hours, and it didn't need to be any more?
You got it. And cool. As a matter of fact, there was a couple of slides that got kind of passed over a little quicker than I thought they should have.
Interesting.
So we started at 9, and we were done at 12. We took an hour lunch, and we went to the range to do the practical.
Cool. That's good. I mean,
and for 7 guys, I think the practical was done in an hour or an hour and a half. So
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't drag it out, because that's the worst.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, yep. And then I got out with my Mark 18, shot that, well, I don't know, 3-4 times already. I shot it that day. I took it to the RSO course with us. And I've been working on the Steyr. Oh, it's killing me, man.
What's going on with the Steyr?
The Steyr, was having failures to extract. This was supposed to be a known problem according to some YouTube videos. So I contacted Steyr and they said, yeah, we've got an upgraded extractor, plunger and spring. We'll send that out to you right away. So they did and didn't change a thing. I seem to have more success shooting 124 grain ammo over 147. I don't know what to attribute that to. Maybe the power factor. I think now I talked to Ross Rossinator, who actually sent us an email this week.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Yeah. And he said that on occasion he had stovepipes, and then he started to shoot some factory ammo through it and it went away. So maybe this gun likes its ammo a little bit hot. I don't know. The guy.
Maybe you just have to keep shooting it and let everything settle and break in.
No. I'm up to 200 rounds.
Yeah, it's time to throw it in the lake.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, if it ends up being a gun that only likes factory ammo, well, then I'll sell it with full disclosure.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like my 870. If my 870 only likes premium shotgun ammo and won't run on cheap trap loads,
yep. What's the sense in having it? I mean, cheap ammo is the reason why we shoot guns.
For me, yes. Yeah. I mean, I won't put cheap ammo through my target rifle, but I mean, an 870 is an 870.
Exactly. It should shoot whatever you stick in it.
That's right. And a carry gun, plastic carry gun.
It should shoot anything goes in it. Yeah.
So before the guy at Steyr, who, interestingly enough, his name is Jeff Reese.
Interesting.
Yeah. Spells it totally different, but his name is Jeff Reese. And so he's a J instead of a G, and I think his last name may be spelled differently as well. But before he could give me the ammo excuse, I made a point of saying, my Glock, my FN, my SIG, my M&P, they all shoot the ammo just fine. So basically don't try and blame the ammo.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he said he gave me, you know, the plunger has a large tapered side and a small tapered side. So in other words, one side has more material cut off than the other. And he said to ensure that the plunger is inserted in the firearm with the small tapered side out. Did that.
Still nothing?
Still nothing. So no improvement. I've gotten 50 flawless rounds through it so far once. And it was all 124 grain stuff. So I went, and this last range trip, I made sure I only brought 124 grain ammo with me. Nothing.
No.
No. So.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah. And then, also, that was Monday, I went out and I warmed up with some Rifleman's Challenge targets for the month of June. It's a pistol target, and if you haven't tried it yet, you're a communist. However, if you're afraid to try it, that makes you human. This bugger is toughed, and it's tougher given the sequence that you're supposed to shoot it in. And admittedly, I did it wrong, and I was called on it, so my targets don't count. You're supposed to start off – It's a 7-yard target on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And it's kind of like a Mozambique, sort of. You've got a head box, you've got a chest box, and then you've got 6 little circles.
Yep.
And the circles are about the size of a loonie. Now, the Americans don't know what a loonie is. It's our $1 coin, whatever.
So it's like twice the size of a quarter.
Yeah, it's like a silver dollar in the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite as big as a silver dollar, a half dollar. Both sides of a half dollar.
Why don't we give them the exact dimensions?
I don't have them. So no, we're going to say it's the size of a half dollar. We're going to say it's the size of a half dollar. So the prescribed shooting order is 2 in the head box, 4 in the chest box, perform a reload, and then shoot the 6 dots in any sequence. Well, I figured that I didn't read that. And I just looked at the target and thought, okay, the 6 dots are going to take the most amount of focus and the most amount of concentration. So I'm going to start on the 6 dots, perform my reload, and then I can really pick up some time on the chest box because I can put 4 in there with my eyes.
Yeah, it's close. 30 seconds, isn't it?
That's right. And then relax again and shoot 2 aim shots for the head box. And so that's what I did. And both targets, I dropped one. One target was really nice and clean. Except for I started off on the 6 dots and my first shot was on dot number 1 and I anticipated the recoil, flinched and pushed it low left. Typical classic.
Yeah.
And the rest of it was like super clean, but they don't count because I didn't shoot in the right
order. You shot in the wrong order.
Yeah. And then
you could just put the video in reverse and then it'd be like, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Every time I get out there, DNR spraying for spruce budworm, so we got to deal with that. You're not sure when they're going to be there. They've been actually really accommodating. They call me up to tell me when they're going to spray so they don't conflict with some of our scheduled events.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. No fear for the charity shoot. It'll be done way before then.
Excellent.
So anyway, I got turned around once by them, and then I got to the range, and the contractors weren't supposed to be there, and they were there. So anyway, I haven't been able to go back. I want to shoot at my 686 and my Model 29 as well, but that hasn't happened. So then today I spent the day doing the getting ready for the charity shoot, creating the registration form, the stages for the IPSC mini match, the score sheets, the silhouette score sheets. I got to go pick up some cardstock to print those on. And just, you know, the logistical stuff. So when people register, we can hand them their package and off they go.
Yep.
And then a new gun came today, to my surprise. I got something in the mail from Freedom Ventures in Halifax, and I wasn't expecting anything else. And my wife's like, there's a door knocker for you. I'm like, oh. So I get to the post office, and they said, okay, they want me to verify your age. So I took off my hat. It happened to me in Vegas once. I got carded in Vegas. I was like 36 years old. She was up off off the street, and I was on the street, and she was like, can I see your ID? So I took off my hat, and she saw the bald spot and started laughing, just gave me the beer, sent me on my way. And so anyway, she goes, okay, sign here. I said, I ain't signing. What are you talking about? Sign. I'm not signing. What is it? I'm not signing for nothing until I see what it is. So this could be a summons. I don't know. I'm not taking any chances. She goes, really? I'm like, yeah, really? I don't sign for nothing until I see it. She's like, okay. So she comes out. She said, it's from the Calgary Shooting Center. Where do I sign?
Yeah. I'll sign twice.
Yeah. So anyway, Jeff Reese had asked me if I wanted to buy his Savage Model 93R. I think it's the FVR model. It's the one with the thumb hole, Boyd stock, stainless steel, heavy barrel.
That's the 17 HMR bolt action, right?
Yeah, it's a bolt action. Yeah. It's a 93, model 93. Yeah, it's a model 93R.
Yep.
But it's the one with the thumb hole, Boyd stock.
That's awesome. Cool.
It is awesome.
Got a scope on it?
No, but
you're just going to shoot it open barrel?
Open barrel,
doesn't have
yeah.
sights.
Yeah, actually, Andy Shan is got a nice loophole that I think I might be looking at, but we'll see. It might be a way more scope than this rifle needs, but anyway. So yeah, I told him I would buy it, but I wasn't going to be able to commit to it until July after the charity shoot and stuff.
Right.
And yeah, well, I guess he wanted to make sure I didn't back out. He put the gun in the mail. He's hurt. So. So that was my week.
Cool.
And yeah, it's a good time. How about we cover some upcoming events?
Yep, let's do that.
All right, the fifth annual charity shoot will take place on July 27th. All proceeds are going to the
July Awards. July 27th, huh?
June 27th.
There you go.
Wow, seventh and ever. June 27th, all proceeds going towards the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. Cost is $25. Registration is at 9 a.m. We will start in the back of the range. You can register at the front of the range like last year at the gate before you enter the range and then make your way to the back part. We're going to start the day with a pistol shoot. You need a holster and at least three magazines. We're going to shoot five stages. They're really short. They're really small. This is an entry level thing. Don't let it intimidate you. If you've never shot a match before, it doesn't matter. We will walk you through it. After the pistol shoot is done, we're going to make our way to the back part of the range where we're going to simultaneously have a trap shoot and a silhouette shoot. When that's done, we will just make our way to the rifle range and finish the day there with some nice, relaxing, fun rifle shooting. In the past, we've been rushed. Some people show up from my club just wanting to shoot the pistol match, and they get tired of sitting around. And when we get on the rifle range, they kind of pressure us to hurry it up so that they can shoot the IPSC match.
Yep.
So, joke's on them. This year, the IPSC match is first.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's going to let everybody shoot it, have some fun, and then relax afterwards.
I totally agree. It was a great idea.
By the way, that was Steve Lee's idea.
Oh, was it? I thought it was your idea.
Well, I stole it from Steve Lee.
Perfect.
And you know, it's just as good as an idea because I have a newsie just like he does.
Yeah. So, also note that I would just... couple of things going on. The barbecue, that'll take place. That'll probably start up by the time we get back to the back part of the range, and that'll run for an hour or whatever. And that's being put on by former club president Chris Kingston's son-in-law and daughter. Now, the son-in-law is Chris Martel. Claude Martel. And Claude is a former police officer from Bathurst who's been recently diagnosed with lung cancer. So they're going to be doing, they'll have a collection jar on hand for donations, plus all the money from the barbecue will go to Claude to help help cover treatment-related expenses. And someone's bringing a air rifle. Jazz and John Fitzgerald, who are starting a new podcast called Calibers Quebec Radio or something like that. Mm-hmm. I know the name if they'd hurry up and get an episode out. Just saying. He's bringing an air rifle to do a silent auction on. And he's
going to
go.
Cool.
Yeah, he's going to donate all of that money to the barbecue, to the cancer thing as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they're also, they've kind of pulled together some money to make a donation to the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation, so they are coming out in full force.
Excellent.
It'll be Jazz and John and Tracy Wilson from, she's not a director yet. She's very affiliated with the NFA anyway.
Right. Cool.
And so they'll be coming down together. So it's right around the corner, kids, and we also have a ton of trophies from Chris Anderson that the three of us have to discuss how we're going to award them. The McClatchy shot has me worried. It's like 3 feet tall.
Yes, it is. I'm giving that to the person who traveled the furthest, probably, just to make them take it home. You got to strap that sucker to the roof.
That's interesting. I like it. So, other upcoming events are the Paracourse with Tom Nelson. Now, this is July 3rd. That's a Friday, with an IDPA match on Saturday. I'm making inquiries as to whether or not we want to move it to Saturday and Sunday because some people have to work on Friday. Nothing confirmed yet. I'm going to, if you're in the Tommy class, send me a message and let me know your opinion on that, but certainly nothing is written in stone. I'm waiting to hear from Tommy. It may not even be feasible. However, there's still a spot open, and the dates are currently July 3rd. That's Friday. For the training and an IDPA match on July 4th. So if you're an IPSC shooter and you want to shoot the IDPA match, look at the rules and find out where you're going to fall.
I'm just going to shoot it IPSC style and lose.
Yeah, but you know your gun makes it, right?
My gun makes it?
Yeah, you're not showing up with an open gun. You're not showing up.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, my equipment will be fine, but they're cover. What? Yeah. I got armor on.
That's right. Yeah, so. And then later on in the fall, September 4th and 5th, will be the Carbine Vitals 2 Clinic with Daniel Shaw. There are still spaces available to sign up. Email. No, this is wrong. You don't email us to sign
yes,
up.
Yes, no, so, I changed it because it's better this way. You email me and I'll tell you how to get a hold of Daniel.
Oh, all right. So email Slamfire Radio if you want to take that class.
Correct.
SummerSlam registrations are still open. There will be the 8th and 9th. We have 15 spots left in the main match. If you're a local and can't make the main match and need to shoot in the pre-match, that's the 5th and 6th. That's Wednesday and Thursday of that week. There's lots of spots left there. Cost is $135 if you pay by EMT. There are 5 guns on the prize table and 5 free registrations for SummerSlam 10 and 3 club registrations, plus probably some pink locks and Tannerite from Press Check Ventures, I hope.
Sure. Why not? I love Tannerite. Tannerite's awesome.
Excellent. T-shirt orders are done.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I picked up the T-shirts today. Mm-hmm. They look cool.
Awesome.
You said the pre-match is the 5th and 6th?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just putting that in my phone so I don't forget. Just saying. You know, these sorts of things that I should be talking about after the show. You know, talk about it during the show. Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. It's all good. So, now for news, we have one news item, which is also our main topic. So, should we just go into the main topic?
Yeah, let's just call up Rod Giltaka and have a little discussion with him about what is the news.
He's tight like that. Let's just ring him up right now. I'm going to dial 1-800-ROD. Wait, that sounds awful. I'm going to dial 1-800-MR-GILTAKA. That sounds better.
Way better.
Civil Advantage Training. Let's call that. Joining us now to have a quick little discussion on Bill C-42 is Rod Giltaka from Civil Advantage Firearms Training in British Columbia. Welcome back, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Basically, we're going to get into this, but there's something new that you've been up to. So before we talk about C-42, and what we want to ask is, what can the Canadian firearms owner expect now? That's kind of where we want to go with this. The listeners want us to say, okay, what does life in Canada as a firearm owner mean now that this has passed? So that's where we're going to go. But before that, you have started a little new endeavor since last time you were on, something about 11 minutes.
Do you want me to do 11 minutes on it, or?
Yes, that's exactly what I want. Take as much time as you want, Rod, and tell us what you've been up to.
Well, you know, it's I have some issues. One of them is I just tend to think that I can do a million things, and then I act on that impulse, mm-hmm. Which has caused me a lot of problems. But I'm working on it. But one of the things I wanted to do, and I said this in the introduction video that I did for 11 minutes, is that there's a lot of other stuff going on in Canada. Obviously, firearms and firearm training and just being a firearms owner is a big part of my life, but there's so much other stuff going on. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I continue to get angry every time I watch the news because they don't cover anything important. And if they do, it's so biased. It's just really, really maddening. And I think where the motivation really comes from is that, you know, I've got kids. They have to grow up in this country. I look around, I don't see anybody else really doing anything that's just status quo and, you know, business as usual. While we see a lot of things in decline and things getting worse, I just feel like I have to do something. And, you know, I wish there were, another 100 people. Yeah. Just something
positive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bring attention to really serious issues, you know, that mean something in our society. And, you know, I don't want to paint myself as nostalgic all the time, but I think back to when I grew up, you know, life was a lot simpler. People, you know, their word meant something. You know, bureaucrats typically, and I'm saying typically loosely, but there were people in the bureaucracy that were in it to do the right thing. And
right. Becoming a public servant meant just that. You wanted to serve the public. You wanted to get out there and work in a role that would help make the public's lives easier, not stand behind a desk and put up red tape for the sake of red tape, which is, it really does seem like that's where we've gone to.
I think it's a lot more malevolent than that, but you know, it's people that just want to run things. And so anyway, there's a lot of other things kind of going on and on. But one thing I want to do was address these issues in kind of a talk show format. I'm kind of repeating what I said in the introduction video. I'm not a professional broadcaster by any means. I'm not even probably a very good person at doing any of this stuff, but I just think it needs to be done. So that's the 11-minute show, and I'm at episode 3 today.
Excellent. Excellent. So where can the listeners find that? Do they just find it off your regular Civil Advantage YouTube channel, or is it another channel?
No, I try to keep them separate. So the 11 Minutes channel, or 11 Minutes on YouTube, is now getting to the point where it's searchable. It was a little hard to find, you know, when there's no videos on it. It just, the search engine won't pick it up. But it's starting to get picked up now. I didn't create a website for 11 Minutes, but we do use a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/11minuteshow, and we also have Twitter.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to following it. I haven't caught any of the episodes yet. I'm sure.
Slacker. I've watched them all.
That's interesting. Listen, the amount of stuff that I watch and support that you don't even know exists could fill a truck. So don't even try.
And will you bring that truck to the charity shoot?
And run you over with it.
Nice.
It's the same truck that we used to run to throw Owen under a while
right.
ago.
Right. That was a bus.
So it's a truck bus. What do you want?
All right, we're squirreling off with Rod here,
wasting Rod's time.
Yeah.
So Rod, thank you for coming on, and thank you for coming on with short notice. In true typical unprofessional slam fire style, we asked him to come on about 2 hours ago, maybe. And
yeah, basically, yeah. I was like, hey, can you come on tonight? Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Rod, being Rod, was accommodating. So, we've talked with you about this before, Rod, so now that it's received royal assent, who better, right? So let's do that. It happened today. C-42, the quote-unquote Common Sense Firearms Act, received royal assent today. So why don't we start there? What does that mean? What's royal assent? Who wants to grab that?
Well, I'm no lawyer, but it means it's officially law. But there's, you know, the minutiae of it is, how do you roll that out? It can't be rolled out instantaneously, but at least the law is in place.
So now it means that C-42 is in fact legal. It's going to take effect. Now it's going to alter things like the Criminal Code and the Firearms Act, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So then what does it mean for me as a gun owner? How is this going to change my life? How is my life different today than it was yesterday?
Well, that's actually a loaded question. Get it?
I get it. Anyway. That's hilarious. I love gun puns.
Slamfire, awesome. So, anyway, no, it's a complex question because the firearm center is not going to have the infrastructure to do some of this stuff, and you know, and this will be an excellent topic for discussion. You know, no sooner does the Common Sense Firearms Licensing Act receive royal assent than does the RCMP come out with their version of when it's going to when it's going to come into force. And I think if you do look at that special bulletin, what number is it? 92?
91.
Kind of just like the Criminal Code, or the Firearms Act and the Criminal Code.
Yeah.
That's a great little section, 91 and 92. But anyway, it's – go ahead, sorry.
No, you don't. Go ahead. You're going down that road.
Yeah, the I think the longest timeline I see for anything is 21 months, but that's something that doesn't affect firearm owners, which is the sharing of information between the RCMP and CBSA. But for the ATT, which was kind of the big one for me personally, you know, that's not even going to come in. They're saying it's the RCMP's deciding it's going to come into force in 9 months. So I don't
know. Yeah, I don't get that. And they do something like this every time we get a win. They find a way to monkey with it and twist with it. And that's because they run the Firearms Center. The RCMP is responsible for administering the Firearms Act and licensing and registration, and they're in charge of all that. So even though now we've kind of put them in their place as far as who makes the rules, they're still pushing back and saying, yeah, okay, fine, you guys make the rules, but we implement the rules, and we're going to implement them on our own timelines. So some of the highlights here, I'm looking at this special bulletin number 91, and so they're saying, you know, okay, first and foremost, the government has the final say in the classification decisions following for firearms, whether or not something is going to be prohibited or non-restricted or restricted, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So that's the first thing. That's up to them now. We've taken that away from the RCMP. Second, the classroom portion of the firearms safety training is now mandatory for all first-time applicants. So that means no more challenging the test. So any challenges that were scheduled, I'm sure they've canceled those right away. They don't need to cancel those in 6 months. They probably pulled the plug on those right away.
Well, they're saying that's okay starting now.
And the criminal code is amended. To strengthen the provisions relating to orders prohibiting the possession of firearms where a person is convicted of an offense involving domestic violence, and discretionary authority of chief firearms officers is subject to limit by regulation. So that those two things sound automatic. So as of right now, the CFOs can't make stuff up anymore. We'll see how well that goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's when I look at this, like I have some knowledge of the inner workings of the Firearms Center, but nowhere near, you know, what the people that are on the inside would have. But yeah, the challenge is going away. That's easy. They just instruct the instructors, you know, no more challenges. Done. The one thing is the ATT and the grace period. I don't know why that takes 9 months, because if you have a restricted PAL, then it's implied that you have an authorization to transport. So that's the only one that's kind of suspicious for me, is the 6 month grace period. How come you just don't prosecute anybody for the 6 months? I'm thinking starting today.
Yeah. You know? These two things that they're putting long timelines on require them to actually not do something. The grace periods also, Rod, they vary from province to province. A fellow archery coach friend of mine, she retired from the Firearms Center office in the Miramichi. So anytime I have a question about how to get a gun back on the books, some old guy had a revolver in his closet and he died, what do we do with it? Who gets a 12-7? Some of the more problematic or, you know, rare questions, I call her up right away. And I get tired of some of the rhetoric from the gun side, believe it or not. Things like, you know, my license expires and they come knocking on my door the next day. And she actually described to me in vivid detail what actually happens when your license expires and all the steps they go through to try and prevent the RCMP from going to your house and all the chances you get. And there's pretty much, with the exception of Quebec, Ontario, and BC, nobody is sending the cops like right away, and even those provinces aren't sending the cops right away. By the time the paperwork is done, it's usually about 3 months before they send the cops anyway. So they put this in there, and really, in reality, we didn't need this. This was already kind of happening. And what's happening is somebody will move and not tell the Firearms Center. They'll take their guns with them from New Brunswick to Alberta or Newfoundland to Alberta, and they'll not provide the Firearms Center with a forwarding address, and all the notices to renew get lost in the mail. And then that person's license may expire, and it could be expired for 2 years before they know it's expired. And one day they look at it and go, oh, look at that. I wanted to buy a gun today. My license has been expired for 2 years. I better call and look into this. If they move and take their guns with them and with no leave a forwarding address, nothing happens, because there's no way of tracking them down to find out that, okay, your license is expired, give us your guns. You know what I mean? So I see this one kind of almost as a non-issue. Restricted, maybe, but still. But a grace period for not prosecuting, like you said, Rod, all they have to do is not prosecute. And the ATT one, that's the one that Matthew and I scratching our heads the most.
Well, the ATT, it's an interesting situation. And I was actually, well, I'm not going to say proven wrong, but I received new information that I didn't even know about. With an ATT, I always was under the impression that if the police stopped you on the side of the road, you had a restricted firearm, they grab your PAL, they go back to the car, they would have access to obviously whether your PAL is current or not. But I always thought that they had access to the ATT information in the car. They don't. So that's
they actually need that piece of paper. So that 9 months that they're saying, that's just to inform all the police officers that they don't need to look for that anymore.
I don't know what that 9 months
is. Because really, how hard is that too? I mean, I don't understand how it can take 9 months to make my piece of paper invalid and make it automatic.
Well, you know, the when they reclassify a firearm, it takes no time at all.
That's it. Yeah.
It's always the way. When they want something from us, they need it yesterday. When we want something from them, we wait and wait and wait.
Yeah. The ATT thing, you just make them null. You have an RPAL, you know, restricted PAL, then you're good. And that's it. And, you know, the whole authorization to transport thing is ridiculous on its face. Obviously, if you trust me with a handgun or an AR-15, I think you trust me to drive back and forth with it, right?
I would think so.
You know?
Yeah, if you've licensed me to own it, mm-hmm. and the law says you have to give me an authorization to transport it, let's get on with it.
Yeah. So I mean, as long as I'm going to and from one of those places, I shouldn't have to produce anything starting today, right? But that's not how they're positioning it, and they're the ones that run the jails, and they have the handcuffs.
Right.
So
now, I wonder what this is going to mean for Ontario, where clubs have been doing an ATT test on behalf of the CFO, and Quebec, where they have Law 9.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, it's a combination of making changes to the ATTs and limiting the discretionary authority of the CFOs. So that'll be an interesting – it'll be an interesting dynamic.
The ATT exam was unique to Ontario, and Law 9 was unique to Quebec, and those were both kind of reach-arounds from the CFOs of those provinces. And so since those were discretionary decisions, I'm assuming that they're now null and void.
Yeah, but they worked, though. I'll tell you that. When I was in Ontario and I wanted to get into handgun shooting and they told me the whole process I had to do, I didn't. Exactly. When I moved to New Brunswick and I was like, oh, I really want to shoot handguns. So I asked somebody else, how do I do it here? What's the procedure? They're like, go buy a handgun. Really? Yeah. Oh.
And isn't that frustrating given the fact that our firearms law, the Firearms Act, is federal?
Yeah. Like, I couldn't believe that it was so different between provinces. Like, here, you just go buy it and apply for an ATT, and you get it usually within 24 hours. There's a test. You got to do probationary shoot. You got to shoot under the instruction of somebody else, and blah, blah, blah. It was just a real pain.
Mm. And the largest IPSC sector in Canada.
Mm. Some of that, though, you have to remember, is imposed by the clubs and not necessarily by the CFO.
I thought like, so, Owen. I thought this ATT exam thing, the clubs did it to themselves.
Yeah, well, but they did do it to themselves by not pushing back, but you know, but some, I agree that some of the stuff is from the CFO, but probationary shoots and stuff like that, I think is more likely a club thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there are clubs in Ontario, and Rod, I don't know if you have any clubs like this in BC, but there are clubs in Ontario where you get an ATT to a particular range on the club, and some gun ranges on the club are approved for non-restricted, and some are approved for restricted only. Let me give you an example. We were at what was that club where we shot the charity shoot at a couple of years ago?
Galt Sportsman.
Galt Sportsman. Somebody wanted to shoot a 22 silhouette match, Rod, and they wanted to use an AR-15 with a 22 conversion kit, and they weren't allowed because you weren't allowed to have restricted firearms on that particular range.
Because the 22 projectile coming out of that AR was so much more lethal than the 22 projectile coming out of my Marlin.
Yeah, you couldn't discharge restricted guns on that particular part of the range.
The berm was only approved for bullets coming out of non-restricted guns. Yeah, otherwise, the bullet would just zing right through like Jello. I mean, the berm knows.
Have anything like that in BC, Rod?
I can't say that we do. Of all the horror stories that I've heard, especially from obviously Quebec and obviously Ontario, I haven't seen anything like that in BC. And the firearm center has been, really, you know, not kissing up to anybody. The rules that they have to enforce suck. Don't get me wrong, but they have every interaction I've had with the CFO's office in BC has been positive. So No, you can go to a club, you shoot whatever you want, wherever you want. If there's any rules imposed, I mean, we have bad clubs, but they're bad culture-wise. Mm-hmm. They're you know, these old guys, well, you can't shoot a handgun on the rifle range. And it's like, well, look, I'm doing it right now. What do you mean I can't?
What do you mean I can't? It works.
Yeah.
I pull the trigger, it goes bang.
Yeah. So we had nothing from the CFO.
We had a FUD in our NFA RSO class on the weekend that was trying to question the whether or not people should be allowed to have drum mags in their 10-22s. He didn't know the laws, so he thought, you know, at our club, they get away with everything. You got guys with 10-22s with 100-round mags, and we're looking at them going, and?
Yeah, that's completely legal.
Why can't the carnage.
Why can't I have a 100-round mag and whatever I want? You know, bullseye shooter, right? FUD. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to use the other F word because I thought maybe just in case, you know, you got some closet FUDs out there and they're, you know, they're like, ah, I'm a FUD. You know, I don't want to get people mad at me.
Right.
I'll
they can be
it.
Mad at us. They can be mad at Trevor. Hate mail to trevorfurlot@gmail.com.
If you're a FUD, you can't listen when I speak.
Put your earplugs in. Trevor's speaking.
Yeah. So, Rod, any other thoughts or observations on the new world order here in Canada? Something you like about it?
The new world order. We're still talking about firearms, aren't we?
Mostly.
C-42, yeah.
Yeah, it's something. It's not, you know. Oh, I'll tell you one of my favorite things in the bill itself, and one thing that I think is particularly useful is no ATT for new purchases.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. You're going to be able to buy your handgun and then take it home.
That's a beauty,
that's
right
it.
There.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be awesome. No more getting an ATT to take a gun to the post office to mail it off or to go pick up your gun at the post office. I mean, a whole bunch of silliness is going away with C-42 in that regard. So that one part of it, I'm thrilled with. And I cannot wait 9 whole months until I get to do that.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure about that, Matthew, though. They're still going to require short-term ATTs for certain things.
It said for commonly... How is that worded again, Trevor?
It says, make authorization to transport a condition of a license for certain routine and lawful activities. So buying a gun for me is very routine.
That's routine.
And buying a gun is lawful. So
So once again, the firearms law that is put in place is so ambiguous, nobody really knows for sure exactly what it means.
I know what it means. It means I'm not applying for an ATT ever again. That's what it means.
I could see this happening, gentlemen. I could see the time to transfer a restricted firearm at a store to you increase just to slow it down. Sure, you don't need to wait to get the ATT, but we're going to make you wait. You know, you can't just walk in and walk out with a restricted.
Right, because that transfer has to be approved with the CFO, and the CFO just might, I'm just going to sit here.
Yep.
Yeah, so there is that.
Yeah, and you know, bear in mind what you're looking at here in the firearm center. That's not the law. The law actually says for new purchases.
Yeah.
So that's in best that I can remember. And also to speak to the firearm center in certain provinces, manipulating the system to create regulation that they'd like to see. That was very specific to new purchases before, because in the Firearms Act, there's no waiting period for a restricted firearm. It's a transaction that occurs as soon as a transfer is done. But yet, you can get them to email you an ATT just to go over to the post office. It's actually not hard to do. But if you buy a new gun, they'll only mail it to you. They won't email it to you. At least not in BC. It's very rare for them to do that. So I had that done once, but the rest of the time they're like, nope, we have to mail it. So they create a waiting period where there was not, where one doesn't exist in law.
See, that's the sort of thing I just can't stand. Why are they bullying us? Basically, is what they're doing. They're bullying law-abiding gun owners.
It's a form of gun control, just like not hiring. Like in BC, Rod can become a restricted firearms course instructor and basically do it as a business. Correct, Rod?
Yeah,
that doesn't exist here in New Brunswick. The CFO controls how many instructors there are, and there's no way of doing it out of an RV in Canadian Tire parking lot here in New Brunswick. It's way too regulated. They decide who's going to be an instructor and how many instructors they're going to have and when they can teach. You can put a class on every weekend if you want, correct?
Yes. Now, they do control the number of instructors in BC and the Yukon as well, though.
Right, but there's still a lot more than there is here. And here, they're limiting the number of instructors to limit the number of classes to slow down the flood of people wanting to get licenses.
Which, again, is another form of gun control.
Is there a lineup for firearm safety courses there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, they do not put on enough safety courses. Quebec tried to tell people that they weren't allowed to come get trained in New Brunswick. And Quebecers have been coming over to New Brunswick to get trained, and they tried to put a stop on it. No, they're like, if you're going to get trained, you're going to get trained by us. Slow down, Hoss. It's a federal program.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they got the jails and the handcuffs. But, yeah, in BC, actually, we favor limiting the number. Like, we have 300 instructors, give or take, in BC and the Yukon. And not a lot of those – not everybody is an active instructor like I am and some of the other we have a couple of larger companies that have multiple locations. But, limiting the number is a good thing, because if you just give – license out to everyone to teach the course, what happens is the good people that would get, put everything they have into teaching this course, because I actually happen to think the course is important, but people like that will be gone because they could never fill a class, and all you'd have is these guys, these old guys, I teach one or two guys a year, and it's not going to be the same quality, right? So
nope.
there's some give and take there. I think
we probably have less than 5 restricted classes for the entire province a year. I know we're a lot smaller. I mean, there's no question we're a lot smaller than all the other provinces, but we still probably have provincially, you guys, what do you think, 30? I'm totally pulling this number out of my butt. I could be wrong, but there's probably like less than 30 restricted firearms instructors for the entire province. It's probably like less than 15.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, there's like maybe 2. for the entire province? Yeah, there's not very many. There's less than 10.
There you go.
There might only be a couple, actually, for the entire province, for the restricted.
Yeah. And when I've inquired, Rod, they're like, we're not looking for any right now, but send us your resume anyway. Why aren't you? Why can't I just become one? Why can't I try and make my livelihood teaching the course, right? It's control.
Absolutely. How much is it to get a restricted firearms license there?
It's like $80.
Okay.
So that's another thing, too. I think it was you or somebody else that wrote in when we were complaining about the discrepancy from one province to the other, and the cost. Like, why does it cost me $300 in BC to get the license when I can get it here for $80? But I see now that the CFOs in every province are approaching the education side of it very, very differently. So here it's kind of run by them and for almost no money at all. And out in BC, they're letting people like you make a business of it. So if you're going to make a business out of it, if I can get into a course whenever I want, I'll probably pay more for that, because it's time is money. And if I could pay 3 times the cost and get in next week or wait till April,
go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, even after you take the class, then they make you wait some more, right? So.
Yeah, 3 months. But I'm not aware of anybody that charges. Well, I'm aware of one guy that charges just over $300. But this is a guy that's taken it to a whole new level. he's turned the 2-day safety course for restricted, non-restricted, which is what most people do, is 2 days. And I think he's turned it into a 4 or 5 day course. And, because there's a lot of information in the course manual. There's some need to know information in there, and there's a lot of nice to know. Mm-hmm. And my goal for the, sorry,
I was going to say, he's not distinguishing.
No, I mean, my goal is I have my students for 2 days, and I have to achieve having them operate firearms for the rest of their lives without having an accident resulting in injury, property damage, or death. And that's what our goal is in the course. But I charge $200, I pay the tax, and I provide the books. But everybody charges something different based on where they're operating, what their expectations are. Like, I don't make my living doing the Canadian Firearm Safety course, so I'm not that worried about it. But, I run about 300 people a year, 250 a year through my courses.
Wow, and that's just you.
That's just me, yeah. Every second weekend.
That's awesome. Wow.
So now, let's talk a little bit about, there's been a fair bit of discussion on this whole ATT going with your license, but only when you renew your license thing. Has anybody? Yeah.
Well,
Rod, if you want to comment on that.
Well, that's not
that. It would appear to me that that's the way the law has been written.
You know, you'd really have to look at, like, I actually looked at the act, and it's really difficult to read because it references amendments to the existing legislation, right? So you're having to look back and forth, and I'm not a lawyer, right? So I don't know exactly how that works. I would think that the amendments to the Criminal Code and the Firearms Act are now in force. So worse comes to worse, if I forget my ATT, and this is not legal advice, disclaimer, if I forget my ATT at home and I get pulled over and I'm like, whoops, I still have it and everything, but I forgot it. Even if they choose to seize my firearms or whatever and say, well, we're going to charge it because we haven't rolled it out. I don't see how they could legally do that. But again, that's a question and really not it's not advice.
Yeah, certainly as far as the you know, this Bulletin 91,
it says it's 9 months.
Yeah, but it's not the law, no. Right? So yeah. you might have to have a court battle about it, but it's not the law, and you likely would win it. But it does. It just, the way it seemed to be written to me, it sounded like you get the condition, you know, your ATT conditions attached to your RPAL when you renew it, when you get a new RPAL, basically. And so the people who, you know, those of us who have a, you know, a one that hasn't expired, and we're not, you know, going to renew it for a few years, that it's not going to apply to that stuff until they're renewed, as if the new card will have like an endorsement, you know, kind of thing. You know, if your driver's license, you get your motorcycle license and they give you a license with an endorsement on it, you know, that almost like that.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is if you open your new PAL, you open the envelope and there's that little piece of paper, you know, the best kept secret, that little piece of paper that says you need to hang on to this and be able to show it on demand. They could just mail out those new pieces of paper because that's where the conditions are.
Yeah. And how many of us keep that with our license? I mean, I didn't even know that existed.
I didn't know it existed till I got my second PAL. I'm like, what's this? What's this useless piece of paper?
I think you only have to carry that, though, if there are conditions on it.
According to that, it's supposed to be with your license regardless all the time.
It says it right on it that you have to have that and be able to present it to a peace officer on demand.
Luckily, the peace officers don't know it exists, so nobody's asking for it. And speaking of peace officers not knowing, you know, an example here in New Brunswick, when CFO Doyle changed it so that we needed invite letters to other clubs, nobody bothered to tell the RCMP that, right? So that came and went, and the RCMP on the street were never even told. As far as ATTs are concerned, I've been carrying one for 5 years now. I'm going to keep carrying it in my range bag until...
Until it's common. Yeah, exactly.
And they're not going to send me a new one. As long as they keep sending me the piece of paper, I'll keep putting it in my range bag. And I'm not taking it out just for the sake of taking it out. This isn't like when we shot up our certificates for when the non-restricted long gun registry fell. It's there. It's been there for 5 years. It's really not weighing down my range bag. I'm going to keep it in there just in case I do get stopped and Johnny Law Enforcement doesn't know the difference and doesn't take my word for it. I'll be like, here you go. There you go. You're happy. You have it. Okay, good.
Well, you know what, Trevor? That actually is an interesting subject in itself. I've faced heat online for encouraging people to overcomply. And, you know, it's funny. These are usually just unhappy haters, you know, sitting in their mom's basement. Obviously, we know those types. Yeah. But I encourage all my students to engage in 104% compliance. And that's sound advice because, you know, in fact, I believe the comment was, yeah, Rod's okay, but I hate the way he tells everyone to overcomply. I'm a minimum legal requirement kind of guy. I almost memorize that, right?
Yeah, there are those two schools of thoughts where your opinion is, hey, if there's a spot on your gun case for two locks, put two locks on it. I travel and shoot with guys who keep the key in the lock.
Yeah.
And they say, I will challenge a cop to tell me it's not locked.
My job as an instructor and a conscientious firearms owner is to keep my students out of jail and out of the system.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely, right? Because it's not even jail. It's the you know, the process is the punishment, and that's the best way is to show that you intended to comply with the law, and that's it. And then your life is a lot simpler. You know, there's a lot of other places to fight the man, as you know that I'm involved with, than to play with the Firearms Act. Like, holy man. You don't want that.
Mm. I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm not putting a lock on every spot on my case where there's a spot for one, but I'm also not leaving my key in the padlock either.
So. No, because the law does say securely locked, and you know, I don't want to argue that, because arguing that is $5,000.
Yeah, and that's what Owen said, right? They write this stuff in the most obscure way possible.
Yep, so that you can pay your $5,000.
Now, have you seen? And this thread is another reason why I hate to go on CGN. But have you seen the thread that popped up on CGN, I think, yesterday, where someone is making the argument based on how C-42 is written that a full-auto M16 now has to be reclassified as a restricted firearm because anything that can be restricted and prohibited at the same time will then become restricted? Have you read this thread at all?
No.
No, okay.
Sounds good to me, though.
I'm in. I want one. I want two, actually.
Head on over to CGN. I encourage you to read it. Try to cut through the troll and try to cut through the BS. There is actually quite a, what I think, logical argument presented for this case. It has something to do with anything that was deemed prohibited and restricted. Not that we have anything that's both. I'm going to do a poor job explaining it, so I'm just going to encourage people to go over there and read that, the argument for why the M16 is now restricted instead of prohibited. So it'll be interesting to see. Anyway, if it is, in fact, a loophole, I'm sure they'll zip it up tight.
Yeah, an order in council would be coming down the pipe pretty quick. Yeah. You know, one other thing that's still hanging out there are the CZ-858 and the Swiss Arms rifles. I still don't see anything done about that, and I sure would like to see something before the election, right?
Well, I thought Minister Blaney's announcement did have something on the bottom about those will be put back.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it.
To be announced.
To be announced. Yeah.
That's to be announced. Yeah. That's the speculation. That
I thought it was even speculation on Blaney's part. I know. I get the impression from what Blaney posts and writes. That if he had his way, that decision would be 100% reversed, and that would be that. He and a lot of people in his cabinet were quite annoyed with the RCMP just taking that kind of liberty.
Yeah, it was a real dark day for all firearm owners, and you know, equal parts good came out of that just because there was a big uniting of people. They could see the writing on the wall, but I need to see that reversed. Because the damage is still done. It's just been delayed by 2 years and we're running out of time. I mean, Angry Tom's not going to help us.
No, but there was a simple logical solution to this problem. All they had to do was tell the owners of those rifles that on these dates and these provinces, you can present your firearm to a verifier at this location. He will determine whether or not you have a converted auto or a actual civilian semi-auto only from the ground up variant, and if you do, you'll be sent on your way, and if you don't, I'm sorry, you're going to lose your rifle because it's converted auto and you're not supposed to have it anyway. And so yes, some people still would have lost their rifles, but it wouldn't have been a carte blanche. They wouldn't have said some of these have slipped through, we don't know how many, so as a result they all need to be turned in. Have them inspected, turn in the ones that we're not supposed to have, and then if you break the law and don't show up, well, then you're a criminal. If you get caught with it, you lose everything. There has to be a balance.
Yeah, but I think there were a lot of rifles there, like CZ-858 Tactical 2 was actually made from a full-auto receiver, but if you look inside the receiver, it's actually a block of steel that's welded into the receiver. So it is truly a converted full auto, so it does meet the criteria to be prohibited. But at the same time, you can make another firearm, any semi-auto full auto by filing off the semi-auto sear. So let's regain our grip on reality. And I would say go to the verifier, make sure that you haven't tampered with it, that it's only capable of semi-auto fire only. Have them stamp it or something and call it a day.
Even better.
You don't want to take people's property, and if there's one compelling reason, it's this: if I have a firearm, even if it's a converted full auto, you know, by definition, if I make it full auto, it's already prohibited. So let's just not make our guns full auto, and problem solved.
Yeah. And like you said, if it's something as a permanent modification as a steel block welded inside their receiver, then it's not exactly what you would call easily convertible.
It's by no means easily convertible. I mean,
yeah.
You know, now luckily for me, I sold my rifle just before the reclassification happened to Mike in Canmore. So I don't have it, but I remember looking in there, just like
dog Norm, right?
Yeah, yeah, you probably sold a gun to him, right? This guy buys guns like crazy, but, you know, he must work at the plant or something because this guy's got money for guns. And you know, I just remember looking in there, and I mean, it's welded. It's you'd need a machine shop to make that thing full auto. Plus, you'd need the sear. You'd need the trigger group. You still don't have the trigger group.
Exactly.
So it's I don't know.
Yeah, I sold mine too. I remember going way back to Canadian Reload Radio when I bought my CZ858. I said, mark my words, they will come after this rifle. And sure enough, they did. And then I turned around and bought a VZ anyway.
Of course.
You know, and that's the the worst irony possible. Yeah, I got to go, turn that in and then buy a VZ, right?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest reason why I bought the VZ, just to kind of stick my finger up at them and say, hey, this is how dumb you are. You took my CZ858 away, but I can have this one, which is actually a nicer rifle.
Yeah, well, you know, it's we all know that the system has no relationship with public safety. It makes some people feel good. But speaking of which, I will have a new video coming out on the Civil Advantage channel. I took a week off, so I'll be able to make one. It's going to be part 4 of the Legal Truth series, where we're asking the question, what actually is a variant? So that'll be an interesting one.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
So then back to Bill C-42. I think we covered the big ones. Oh, no, we didn't talk about this. Streamlining the licensing system by eliminating possession-only licenses and making every possession-only a possession and acquisition license. Now, this is going to take 3 months. So it's going to take 3 months to notify everyone in Canada with a possession-only license that they now automatically have an acquisition license, which I think is awesome, and it should have been that way from the get-go, because basically it's like this. So you trust me to own the guns I have now, but don't trust me to purchase any new ones. And I know they were trying to change the climate and the culture in Canada by incorporating education. And like you, I think there's value in our course, especially for completely novice. And also, there are some people that have been handling firearms their whole lives that are downright scary. But to the people that at least had guns before, to tell them, we trust you to own these, but you can't own. Yesterday you could buy guns, but tomorrow you can't. Tomorrow you can only own what you have until you take this class. It's kind of insulting. So, mm-hmm. you know, now, all right. So, you know, my father, who has had a possession and only since it came, a possession and a possession only license, and he's had it since this whole debacle happened. Now, tomorrow, if he wants to, he can start buying guns again in his 70s. Super. But there are other people who are a little younger than him that never bothered to upgrade their license. Now will be able to. So, but this is going to take 3 months, which I think is remarkable for the government to think that they're going to get this done in 3 months. They're probably going to get some letters.
It's because they're going to take all their time to not do anything with the ATTs for 9 months. That's where right, they save their time, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is a whole pile of paperwork. not sending out ATTs is anyway. So what do we think of this, gentlemen?
Well, the POL thing is POL to PAL thing is awesome. And in fact, I called my good friend Scott Carpenter over at International Shooting Supplies this morning and congratulated him because he's got a whole raft of new customers now. And I think it's going to be really good for the industry. And I think it's going to be really good for Canadian gun culture, right? It's going to re-involve and re-engage all those POL holders. I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will, because you're going to have – you have a certain portion of the population who maybe they do have some firearms and they may be hunters and things like that, and they maybe would like to buy new firearms, but they've kind of always been, but I don't want to take that stupid course. I don't need that course. I've been doing this since I was, you know, 12 years old. You know, what do I need that course for? And they just never bothered to do it, and so they've always either kind of navigated it by buying secondhand, perhaps, or, you know, done some questionable things that way, or they just never bought any new and just kept with what they had. So I think you're right on. It is, those people are going to go, oh, cool, I could go buy a gun now if I wanted, and they might do it just for that reason, because they can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
chirp, chirp. Long, awkward silence. Why does that always happen after I talk?
We were all contemplating what you said. It was so deep and profound, you had to really think about it.
Unusual. So. Anything else for this? What does it mean for us now, Rod? Any final thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, some of these things are a step in the right direction. There's more to do. If the conservatives don't get in as a majority again, you won't see anything new for the next 4 years. You know, personally, I don't think they're going to get a majority. I think we're going to end up with minority governments again, or a coalition, and which is equal parts good and bad. At least nothing is going to be worse, right? Because it can't do nothing. But, you know, it's you know, this is a good step in the right direction. Definitely, is it everything we needed? No, but I'll take anything that's in the right direction. So I'm happy about it.
Well, I'm pretty lucky since I've come into the gun culture. I've been a firearms owner basically my whole life, but since I've come into the culture and the shooting sports, it's been win after win. So I just hope it keeps going that way.
Yeah, I never experienced, you know, the early 90s myself because I've only had a PAL for 9 years.
I've had the, when this whole mess started, my father registered some of the long guns in my name and some in his name so I could get my possession-only license, and I had that up until, I can't remember when. I had a restricted firearms license for 7 years before I purchased my first restricted gun.
And then I heard rumors that... Now, I don't think I've ever talked to anyone directly, but I heard rumors a little while back that if you had a restricted firearms license, some people were getting calls from the firearms center asking you to turn in that license for just your regular PAL because you didn't own any restricted. So, wow.
I know someone that happened to out here.
In New Brunswick?
Yep.
That's completely random. Like, why isn't it happening to everybody, right? Like, I went in 7 years with that on my license, never bought a gun, and nobody called me.
Well, and, that's bureaucracy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost the whole thing. I think he then had to go retake. They even made him go retake the course, or certainly retake the test to get it all again.
Foolish.
What? Yeah, years later. I mean, it was several years later when he decided he was going to go buy a gun again. But
oh wow.
And then you get guys like me or some people at the CFO office know my name by the sound of my voice. From one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Excellent. Rod, thank you very much for joining us this week and letting us bounce some of these ideas off of you. It's always a pleasure to have you join us here on Slam Fire.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for giving me a lot of notice. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Once again, Rod, tell the folks where they can find your channels.
Well, I've got the Civil Advantage channel. That one's easy to find. Just go to YouTube and type in Civil Advantage. And then that 11 minutes thing, I don't know how long I can keep that up because it's a lot of work, but I'm gonna try my darndest. So that's you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/11minutesshow. And then the Twitter feed is @11minutesshow. And then the 11 minutes channel is what it's called on YouTube.
And if they want information about courses, they should go to your website at
civiladvantage.com.
Excellent. Great. Well, thanks again, Rod, and hopefully it won't be too long and more notice before we talk to you again.
That's awesome. Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Hey, he got more notice than I did.
We like him more than you.
Well, there you go.
Certainly wine right. Less.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Rod.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let's jump into some listener feedback, and we have a lot of it this week. And, so why don't we jump right in? I'm going to take the first one from Steve. Steve says, I have a Lakefield 64B22 semi with feeding issues. It seems to be as picky an eater as my 4-year-old. Hollow points are definitely, well, stop trying to give it broccoli. I mean,
yeah, if you feed your 22 broccoli, it's not going
to
eat it.
And if you feed 22 ammo to your 4-year-old, I'm calling social services.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that's the way that's going to go down. Yeah.
Hollow points are definitely out, and a lot of round nose won't feed either. If I clean it, it will take around 100 rounds of plated round nose before I have a failure. So there you go. That's the limit of your gun.
There it is, 100 rounds.
100 rounds and needs to be cleaned. Before I have a failure to feed, and then it seems like every second round I have to rack the bolt, which is really hard on the fingers because it has a seriously small bolt handle. I'm stuck with the world's most annoying repeater, or am I stuck with the world's most annoying repeater, or am I doomed to take this thing apart every 100 rounds to clean it?
Yes. Yes.
I have two new mags and make sure not to oil the action too much. Sorry for the rant, guys, but I hate to get rid of it because it's accurate and those first 100 rounds are really fun. Thanks for the great show, guys. Steve. Well,
That's been my experience too with the Lakefield 64s. They're great guns. Just sometimes when they're dirty, they just don't work well. Mm-hmm. And you just have to keep them really clean.
I think George Hatch has one. No, he's got a, not a Lakefield. He's got a Savage semi-automatic.
Right.
And he kind of has, aren't these two actions similar? Or
I think so. I'm not terribly familiar with them. I do know what the Lakefield is. I thought the Kui had a very similar one too.
Okay.
The Kui and the Lakefield are really similar, but anyway.
Well, I mean, look, you got to find an ammo that the gun likes that's going to be clean. A rimfire is dirty anyway.
It really is, inherently.
And it's not a 1022. It's not a 597. So you may just be, stuck with a gun that needs to be kept extra clean. So it's accurate.
Use it for hunting because you got 100 rounds, and then pick up something else, something a bit more modern, perhaps.
$7.95.
Yeah, they're inexpensive and very accurate, and they work. I can shoot mine probably close to 1,000 rounds before I got to start cleaning it.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
All right, who's got Spencer's?
Trevor, sorry to hear you're having problems with the M1 short stroking. That can definitely be aggravated by the Garand plug, or the Garand gear plug, although that's usually not the root cause. I've attached an article from their site that details all the various issues that can cause this. They also have some great charts there showing the pressures of various commercial loads with and without the plug.
And let me just stop you there. He's right. The information on this website, the company that makes the Garand gear plug, they've got specs, they've got diagrams with parts showing the specifications and where to measure to check the specs of the parts, charts, manuals. It is a grand owner's dream come true as far as information, one-stop shopping. Carry on.
Cool. You can see that it does reduce the height of the curve from over 1,000 PSI to around 700 PSI for most ammo. So if your gas system is already light, or if there's increased resistance, it wouldn't be a surprise if you were short-stroking the gun. It sounds as if you've already addressed some issues with the cylinder and piston sizes. I would suggest you check the section on the bolt binding and interference with the stock. The Power Factor Show did a good episode on stock fitting as well, and their video shows exactly where to look for rubbing. It's kind of interesting as how far gas systems have come in reliability over the last 70-plus years. It really makes you appreciate why Stoner went for a direct impingement system when you see how finicky the Garand and M14 systems can be. Best of luck from Spencer.
The Power Factor Show, I didn't check that one out yet. I definitely will, especially to see if there's any binding in my stock. But before I do, well, I'll do that. But I also want to get back to the range with both plugs and a box of factory ammo and see if the factory ammo runs the gun with the original plug, which it did before, and then try it with the Garand gear plug. And if it does with the Garand gear plug, that'll be the answer. I won't even bother reloading. I'll just buy factory ammo. If it runs the Garand with the original plug and not the Garand gear plug, well, then it's just not very hot ammo.
Yeah.
So it's factory ammo. It's modern factory ammo, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's super hot. I mean, it's just cheap Remington core lock. So. Yeah.
Well, for the amount of times you're going to shoot the gun anyway, just buying factory ammo might not be such a bad idea anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not competing in matches with it or anything. Yeah. It's just it's kind of like my Model 29. Take it out a couple times a year just to knock the dust off, show it to somebody who's interested in that particular fire. So, yeah. To shoot Jaws or shoot a scuba tank in Jaws is most.
Yeah, well, that's got to be done.
That's on my bucket list, yeah.
Yeah.
But we need a bigger boat.
So, yes, we do.
Yeah. Owen, you want to get the next one from Mark?
Mark says, guys, listen to your podcast almost every night, and I just love the content. Finally heard where to send an email, so I thought I would give you a shout-out. I live in Louisiana, which is quite a ways from you guys, but I do have a good friend who lives in Calgary, Alberta.
Which is probably as far away from us as Louisiana is.
Yeah. At least he's not saying. Do you know Bob in Calgary?
I do know Bob.
Office Bob?
Office Bob. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah.
He actually came to visit me last year when he was traveling the lower 48, and I really enjoyed meeting him and showing him my guns and reloading room. I have 4 handguns in my collection so far. 9mm Browning High Power Practical, 9mm Ruger LC9, Ruger GP100, and a Smith & Wesson Model 422. Also have a Ruger Charger 22, which technically is considered a pistol, so I guess I have 5. And a Model 29 Savage 22 caliber pump action, which belongs to my late father.
That's cool. I like those 22 pumps. They're really neat, really neat to shoot.
I have a Model 311 Stevens XS.
That's side by side.
Oh, side by. That's a strange way to tune.
Yeah. No, that's no.
Yeah. This is as bad as Rossinator.
No, it's not. No, that's not.
Cool. Now, he sent us an email and he addressed it to only me, and I wonder why.
So it's a 410, whatever it is, which was my first. That's an interesting a side by side 410. You don't hear that very often.
That'd be great. It would. You'd have the two barrels. You have that classic look. Those the great lines of a double barrel shotgun, but not all that bulk. Because a side by side 12 gauge, they're huge.
Yeah, that's right. And a Model 12 Winchester in 16 gauge. I'm saving up to buy a Henry Big Boy Steel in 357 Magnum next month. Really looking forward to that.
That'll be fun.
I really want a lever rifle in a pistol round. For some reason, I've wanted that for like months now.
I think
now.
It'd be great to get like a lever action with 9mm.
Ugh, no. Owen.
Yeah.
I've got a gun wish list, Owen, and it changes almost month to month since 2012, and I've gone back recently and I've looked at my wish list from 1 month to the next, and one of the guns that stays on it every time is a lever action 357 Magnum carbine.
Yeah. I know. Carbine. I don't know what it is about it, but
I also said lever.
Anyway, love your show and love listening to you guys interact with each other. Plus, always interesting to hear how the gun regulations in other countries affects the legal and law-abiding gun owners there, just like they do down here. Keep up the good work and continue to spread not only the word, but the truth. From Mark.
Nice.
Very nice.
So, Simon?
It's Sion.
From Sion. All right. Sounds like a name from the Matrix.
Could be.
Sion says, "Hey guys, I know I'm a little late to point this out, but in my opinion, the best bolt gun for your money has to be the K31. I love that you guys picked the Enfield, but in my experience, the K31 shoots better, can shoot faster, and the match grade surplus ammo is still available. For $300, it has to be the most accurate rifle for the price. Also, if you reload, it is easy to find components being a .308 projectile, and you still get to sound like one of the cool kid gun snobs when you start talking about 7.5x55. Love the show. Can't wait for the next one. Thanks, Sion Hampton, a.k.a. Patrat." Nice. Patrat's got a point. There was a K31 or a K34. Apparently, P.L. Luke has had them both, and I've apparently shot either the K31 or the K34. I can't remember. Anyway, one of these two rifles was at my house here on Friday night. No, Saturday night after the NFA course. It was either a K31 or a K34. They are fast, and the action is silky smooth. And that's about all the surplus talk I want.
There we go. Let's move on to this next one from Kevin. Kevin says, "Hi, guys. I have a question for you Glock aficionados. I recently picked up a previously enjoyed Glock 17 Gen 4, and I am not a fan of its trigger. I'm not sure whether it's simply something that I have to get used to, or whether I can tune the trigger to improve my accuracy. I believe that Matthew shoots production with his Glock, and I know since you are all IPSC gurus that you will know if tuning is necessary or possible while still remaining IPSC production legal. On my last range trip, I got to try out a different Glock 17 and shot a cloverleaf group with it at 7 yards. The owner had polished a bunch of the trigger parts and had replaced the trigger connector. I am certain that the connector is a no-go, though it's a factory part due to the 5-pound trigger requirement for production. But I'm not sure if polishing is allowed under Appendix D4, paragraph 16.1 of the rulebook."
Okay. Can I stop him?
Yeah.
Can I jump in? Use a factory Glock minus connector, and it's an OEM part, so you're fine. And it will still be just barely, but it will be over 5 pounds. You can polish the crap out of whatever you want. And nobody's going to know that you did or didn't because they don't take the gun apart and look. And polishing just speeds up the natural wear of breaking in the trigger parts anyway. Nobody cares. Don't change any of the springs. Just go for a connector. And I would suggest, and this may sound silly, but I've proven it, get multiple connectors. Get 3-4 Glock minus connectors and try them all. And each one's going to feel different. I'm sorry, that's just the reality. It's certainly definitely the case with aftermarket connectors. You can have 3 Ghost or 3 Zev connectors and put them in, and each one's going to feel a little different and affect the reset of the trigger based on the angle that they're bent. They're not all created equal. I learned this over a couple of years competing with the Glock and doing trigger jobs on other Glocks. You can take a trigger group out of one Glock 35, let's say, drop it in another Glock 35, and it will feel different. Just they're not clones. They're all slightly a little bit different, and the parts will feel different. So
each gun has its own personality.
Yes, that's right.
He finishes off by saying, I do plan on changing the sights to a standard 3-dot system rather than the Glock adjustable sights, and I think that will help my point of impact, point of aim issues. I'm really looking forward to meeting you all at the charity shoot in less than 2 weeks. Keep up the great work on the show. It is always entertaining. Thanks from Kevin. And speaking of the charity shoot, we actually have a commercial for it, if you will.
It's true.
A promo. So let's have a listen to this promo, and we'll go from there. This is from one of our favorite listeners, Mark Price.
And just before you start, remember, listeners, everything he says is 100% accurate.
110.
It will be this way. Go ahead.
Here we go.
Hello, everybody. I have a great event to talk to you folks about today. It's the 5th Annual Canadian Podcast Network Charity Shoot. All proceeds are going to the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. Here are some of the events taking place on Saturday, June 27th. First off, we have the Clay Pirates Trap Shoot. Just say the magic word and watch that clay pirates go flying and then shoot out of the air with your trusty 22 buckshot. Next, we have the 200-meter SKS Challenge. Just bring your SKS in its original configuration and we'll have a 6x6 target for everyone to shoot at. That's right, folks. The first person to hit the 6x6 target wins. Next, we'll have the 1911 Steel Challenge. Bring your 1911 or 2011, since they are the same, and anyone who completes the challenge without a malfunction is really lucky. We were going to have a 22 red dot compensated handgun with a muzzle brake silhouette shoot, but since no sane person has one, we had to cancel it. As a special treat, the Slamfire crew has put their own touch on the event. Owen will be providing milk straight from the cow, 3 squirts for a dollar or 5 squirts for $2. Matthew will be teaching a class on pirate calls. Watch, listen, and learn as Matt shows you his secret technique that has had him looking for pirates for over a decade. Last but not least, Trevor will be doing a Model 29 suiting session. For just 29 cents, you can load up Trevor's Model 29 and then feel the excitement as you watch Trevor shoot every round for you. We look forward to seeing you at the shoot. Bye-bye.
Oh, that man is a genius.
He is a mad genius. It was awesome. And everything is absolutely as he said, only we're not going to start with the trap. We're going to start with the IPSC. So
yeah. Other than that, though, it's exactly.
Other than that, it's accurate.
Bring 29 cents to watch Trevor shoot his own gun with your ammo.
It's foolproof.
It really is.
Yeah. So, all righty. Oh, and Kevin, please bring your ACR. Please. Please.
That would be very cool.
And I apologize about the Kelly Fit comment. Moving on.
All right, then.
I think it's my turn, isn't it?
It is.
Good. I wanted to read this one. Only because it's from a Raw Ross N8 or. Hey, Trevor et al. Wanted to touch base, drop you a line about an event with cash prizes, and stir the pot.
Huh? It's A, not et. It's French.
Yeah.
Trevor AL.
Yeah, if it was AL, it'd be spelled EH.
It's French.
I'm just saying, this is an English podcast.
And it's pronounced Rossinator.
Nah, that's an NA.
Each of you are doing well, and congratulations to Owen, which is, yeah.
Spelled with a 3 and a 0.
O3N.
O3N. 0-3N.
0-W-3N. That's your Star Wars droid
designation. There you go. OW3N. Yes. Zero W3N. Yeah. You gotta start talking in beeps now. In there whistles.
Okay. So he continues on. As the summer is starting, shooting season is in full swing. Here in what was God's land until the legions of baristas. Sorry, I'm too far from my computer. Voted in the National Debt Party. Here is an event going on August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Buffalo Target Shooting Association. It will be a mix of various disciplines, IDPA, IPSC, USPCA, and Steel Challenge style stages. Did I mention there'll be cash prizes? If you were interested, you could register at btsa.ca. BTSA.ca. As a friend of mine recently pointed out the general hypocrisy of the anti-gun crowd, before going into this, I'm firmly against Bill C-51. Remember when the C-51 protesters said, don't let the government fearmonger you into giving up your rights? Well, you let them do just that to the gun owners in the 90s with the Firearms Act. Slopes are slippery, and if you were fine with a non-constitutional search, seizure and surveillance against 2 million Canadians because they own guns, why are you surprised you helped open the door to further erosion of rights in the name of public safety? Enjoy C-51 because you made it possible 20 years ago. And then he has a link to some backup documents to prove his point. He's helped back up this case here, I guess. When discussions with anti-C-51 crowd starts, do not hesitate to point out the connection between liberal C-68 and C-51. We may just convert a few, very few, thought as liberals by nature have a special set of double standards. That's from Rossinator.
Very nice. Thank you, Rossinator.
Trevor asleep.
Trevor fell asleep.
Oh, no, Trevor was texting Ed.
Yeah. Oh, no way. Really? You were on your phone during the show? That never happens.
There's scandals going on in Archery Canada right
now.
Oh,
terrible.
It's Trevor, at least when I'm on the phone during the show, I don't let on, you know, that I'm on the phone.
He knows. He knows when to come back in. It's, especially if he's lead host, like somebody is here. Oh, you.
Fine. It's important.
It's not that important.
The show's totally not that important. Don't worry about it, Trevor. We can take it from here.
Okay. Yeah. The next one's from Rick. Rick says, I like the advantage of sitting in the background and being unnoticed. That being said, I listen to your great show and some of the other podcasts in the last few years. I'm rarely the guy to write in. Recent events have caused me to emerge from the shadows and express the bitter taste that has been left in my mouth by a tragic event. Early Sunday morning, Jeremy Cook was shot dead in London, Ontario, at the age of 18, trying to retrieve his stolen cell phone by using a tracking device. Reports say Jeremy approached a car with three people in it. One of the occupants got out, and when the car started to pull away, Jeremy grabbed the driver's side door. Shots were fired, and Jeremy was hit multiple times and died on the scene. Police found the vehicle abandoned and the cell phone nearby. Police are now looking for three suspects between 18 and 21 years of age. Although this happened 2 kilometers from where I live, it hit close to home due to the fact that Jeremy was a fellow brother during our Krav Maga classes. I did not know him well, but stood beside him, and we trained hard to prepare for the unknown. Other classmates and friends shared that he was a good kid, working on a scholarship in carpentry, and was going to be an asset for the community. Krav Maga teaches us self-defense in urban environments and how to get away from our attackers using many different training scenarios. It seems some of the best training that I have received and a valuable asset to any skill set. His senseless death affected all of us in many ways and he will not be forgotten. Training with Tom Nelson introduced me to the phrase, know your limits. I have that echoing through my head almost every day. It's almost a mantra to me, knowing my limits. I'm not going to armchair quarterback the choices made early Sunday morning. As firearms owners, most of us think on how empowered we are to use that tool and other tools to protect our family, friends, or even a complete stranger. The Gunfighter Cast, during the active shooter response episode, asked the question from instructor Scott Ballard, who are you prepared to die for? Would you die for Bob in accounting? Hearing that episode and Ballard's perspective really cooled the heroic Good Samaritan in me. Threats are becoming more and more prevalent in all areas of our country lately. It's hard to make the right choice sometimes when all you have is a split second. Before you make a choice to be a hero or try to do what you think is brave and heroic or act, please know your limits. Remember, what is important in life and what can be replaced. Stay safe, Rick. And Rick is absolutely right. When I see cases in the U.S. where armed civilians draw their gun to stop somebody from slapping their girlfriend or shoot somebody over a purse or I often get sucked into these threads and start arguing with people. You know, they call the person who pulled his gun and pointed it at somebody who was slapping his girlfriend a hero. And I'm thinking to myself, no, that's what he is. He's a person without training. And you can call me a coward, but I'm not going to draw my gun and interfere with that. I might get involved. I might call the cops. I might do a lot of things. But drawing my gun on someone to get them to stop slapping somebody is where I draw the limit. If I take the gun out, it's because somebody needs to be shot. And I'm not going to shoot somebody unless they're going to, you know, try and kill me or my loved ones. And I mean my immediate loved ones, which is an incredibly small circle. So, it's just, you know, like Rick is right. Know your limits. And I'm not going to, even if it's a clean shoot, I'm not going to put myself through it for somebody else who I don't know. Not me anyway. A gun is not something that you're supposed to use to intimidate or threaten with, and pull your gun out and point it at somebody because he's slapping his girlfriend. Don't take it out unless you're willing to kill that guy. And are you going to kill him because he's slapping somebody?
Yeah, and a gun's a lethal tool. It's lethal force, and you don't use it except to stop lethal force, and that's what the gun is for, is to stop lethal force. But here in this situation, this guy was trained in a martial art and still wasn't able to defend himself against a gun. And that's not the point here. The point is, I think, you know, if your cell phone gets stolen and you use a tracking to go hunt it down, well, if you track it down to a car full of three thugs, you know, maybe don't approach it by yourself. Maybe it's just a cell phone too. Maybe you don't need to even. Here's the thing though. It's hard, especially in Canada, because we're not used to people having guns. And so we think that it's perfectly safe to, and I would be angry too. If somebody stole my property and I knew who it was and how to track it down and I could get to it, I'd be angry and I'd want to go get it back because you stole from me. You're not supposed to steal from me.
But know your limits. Don't put yourself in a situation that you can't get out of. Three guys, a car, and over what? Over a phone, right?
Over a phone, sure. But at the same time, and I think this is something that we're going to see more and more of, is that because we live in Canada, and the prevalent common knowledge is there are no guns in Canada, and so nobody carries them, I think we're going to start seeing more people get shot by criminals, because criminals are carrying guns more and more now. And it's sad to say, but this is sort of how the concealed carry movement came about in the States, is good people were getting shot by bad people, and the good people needed a way to defend themselves. And, you know, that same thing has been happening in Canada for many years now, and it's ramping up. I see it more and more in the news, you know, way more than I want to. And, like Rick said, know your limits. I mean, bad guys have guns these days. It doesn't matter what sort of jujitsu you know, you can't outrun, you can't dodge a bullet. So it's hard. It really is. Because like I said, I don't like people stealing from me either. But sometimes you just have to let your property go and just move on. And, you know, that way at least you don't die for sure. But it is an isolated case, of course, but at the same time, it's still, it's, there's no easy answer on that one.
It's, well, isolated, but it's becoming less and less isolated.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And yeah, and, but coming back to what Rick said, we'll reiterate one more time, know your limits. You can't go into a situation outnumbered and perhaps outgunned.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, that, you know, and don't do dumb things in dumb places with dumb people. And those were dumb things in dumb places. It was like early morning hours, three of them, one of you. I think he had a friend with him, actually, according to the news story. But
well, when they tried to drive off, maybe he shouldn't have grabbed. I mean, and like Rick said, we probably shouldn't armchair quarterback this. But maybe he shouldn't have tried to grab the door handle and stop them. Like maybe just, okay.
There's one report that he jumped on the hood of the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? I mean, you're not going to stop the car.
No. Anyway, thank you, Rick. That definitely hit close home for you because, I mean, you live in that area. That's the same neighborhood that I lived in when I lived in London. So, you know, it's rough to have something like that happen so close, especially when you know the guy. So our thoughts go out to you there, Rick, and obviously to this guy's family too. But, you know, just keep your chin up and... hopefully we see you out here in New Brunswick soon.
Very
cheer you up. I got a newsie. This next one comes to us from Carl. He writes, "Hey guys, I just wanted to give you guys props on a great show. I'm not totally new to shooting, but I would consider myself to be a novice. I've listened to a few of the shows and learned a lot. I really liked the recent episode where you guys featured best bang for your buck guns. I don't have a ton of disposable income, so getting value for my dollar is of paramount importance. Of course, I realize that I'm not your only listener, but I have to say that I really love when you guys do shows that focus on the new shooter. I also don't mind the occasional gardening and airplane talk either. Keep up the great work. You guys are a riot to listen to. You know, the funny thing is, I happened by that video where Steve Lee came from Australia ages ago, way before I'd ever heard of you guys. When I heard you guys mention it on the radio show, I was like, no way, that was them? I love that video. And that comes to us from Carl. Thanks, Carl. We love hearing from our listeners, especially our new listeners, and we're glad you enjoyed that last show, and I hope you are able to go get some cool best bang for your buck guns.
Cool.
Okay.
Who's up?
Me. This next one is from Mr. D. Hi there, Slamfire host. Today I'm writing about a different topic, but a bit of a different topic. Here in Canada, I think we have a bit of a disconnect between our community as firearms owners. If you look down to the south, you'll notice that whenever King Obama or the ATF try and bring in firearms restrictions, the people collectively show their discontent by writing, by email, writing and calling their senators or politicians. I know on this show you've urged people to write their MPs about certain issues, and I personally have personally sent letters to MPs, in particular regarding the UN Arms Trade Treaty. It is true that we here in Canada unfortunately do not have any legal rights to own firearms, or at least not one that has been recognized by the SCC, and maybe this has a bit to do with it, but I think the big problem is that we are so divided when it comes to certain issues. The NFA has rallied some voices, specifically when it comes to the petition for ARs and magazines, which is great, but other than that, there hasn't been many calls to action regarding other issues. As for the CSSA, I'm sure they are doing a lot behind the scenes, and that's not to be discredited, but I haven't seen much in the way of urging members to voice their concerns on certain key issues. I believe that we could do a lot more if people got involved by writing letters, making calls, and speaking with our politicians. And I think our firearms associations need to encourage us by making calls to action on these issues. We need someone to be leaders when it comes to this, and it makes sense that it should be our firearms associations. We need to let our collective voices be heard to create change. It seems to be working for our neighbors to the south. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. Thanks, Mr. D.
Yeah, those are good thoughts, and you're right. The change will only come about when the public wants it to. And
one of the big differences, I think, between here and the States is that there tends to be a belief in firearms ownership and rights on both sides of the political scene in the States more than up here. More, it's there's a lot clearer line between the liberal side of the floor, and that's small L liberal, yeah. and the small C conservative side of the floor. Whereas in the States, you have plenty of Democrats and, you know, on that side of things that would be pro-gun and be gun owners themselves. Though that's not, you know, there's a tendency there, but the line is certainly a little clearer defined up here, I think.
Yeah, that's true. But that still doesn't, you know, we should still be writing letters, making phone calls, talking to the people we can. You know, we gotta be a group. We gotta do this collectively, like Mr. D says. So thank you, Mr. D, for writing that in.
Awesome. Finally, from George.
From George.
Mr. Hatch from New Shooter Canada.
Is that the guy? Does he do a show?
He owes you $20.
He does owe me $20.
What do we charge every time we say New Shooter Canada on this show?
Like, it's $20.
It's $20. New Shooter Canada costs $20 every time we say New Shooter Canada.
Yeah, it's $20.
$20. All right. So, George says, all right, before we get started, let me say thank you for downloading and subscribing to New Shooter Canada. With that taken care of, Matt, I'm not sure I agree with your assessment regarding the $20. I propose this. Continue to listen to New Shooter. What do you mean continue? He doesn't even he can't I'd continue to listening to it. He would have to start.
I don't listen to this show, for crying out loud.
George, he doesn't even know you do a show. I propose this. Continue listening to New Shooter Canada, and I will send you an autographed picture of me open carrying in Ohio. All right. This is so it begins. Not only is he bragging about open carrying, he's bragging about open carrying on our show. This is awful. Really, you come out ahead in this deal. Listening to New Shooter Canada is worth it alone. Cheers, George of New Shooter Canada. P.S. Thanks for listening.
You owe me $20.
Yes, New Shooter Canada owes McClatchy $20. A day late, $20 too short.
Yep.
I missed this whole joke. I don't understand where the $20 came from.
Well, there was a promo coupon code. A promo code.
Yeah.
And for SFRC, and I, the day before George told me about it, I ordered a $300 order on SFRC. Yep. And so it works out to $20 that had he told me the promo code in time, I would have saved $20. And now he owes me the $20.
That reminds me, Mo says he's got 1,000 rounds for you that you were supposed to get from him.
Yeah, I talked to him already. I called him and said, can I have it? He said, no, it's for Dan. And then I ordered it from SFRC. And then he called me back and said, Dan didn't take it. It's yours now. And I said, nope, already got it from SFRC.
I was trying to throw you under the bus, but it did not work.
Didn't work at all. Try again. It's Owen that goes under the bus tonight, not me.
Right. I tried to sell it for him today. He was supposed to check and see if he had it when he got home, get in touch with me so I could let John know.
He probably sold it to Dan again.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So, Dan, pick up your ammo. If you would like to email the show with comments, concerns, complaints, or jokes at Owen's expense, you can do so by emailing us at slamfireradio@gmail.com. If you're in Louisiana, receive 5% off your email if it's the first time.
There you go. 5% off your email fee.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Which should, like, and George owes you $20.
And George owes me $20. So the amount of $20 I'm going to get from George, which is zero, is the exact amount of percentage you get off your email.
Yeah. If you want to complain about this show, email New Shooter Canada.
Yeah, that's it. @gmail.com.
And complain over there, yeah.
Yeah.
iTunes reviews. We got any?
Yes, we have one.
Excellent. Are you going to read that?
I am. This one is from RJ Miller, and he entitles it Great Job, Fellows. And he writes, when I think about guns and hunting, I think rugged manliness. This show is about three guys who overcame that stereotype to prove that anyone can enjoy the shooting sports.
Wow.
Thank you, RJ. I think.
Is that RJ, RJ?
No, not our RJ.
Our RJ.
No, that was RJ Miller. At least I think, unless he's got another nickname on iTunes. Who knows? It could be our RJ.
There you go.
Anyway.
Any shout-outs, gentlemen?
I would like to shout out that poor baby gopher that I shot in the face with a shotgun.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Is that not what I'm supposed to do at this point?
That's not how it works.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'll shout out Matt and Brian, who were there with me when I shot the baby gopher in the face.
All right.
With a shotgun.
I want to shout out Owen and welcome him back to the show. And happy to hear that mommy and baby is well and you're back home being a single dad again. Don't do that again. Don't say on the show that you're a single dad without further explanation.
there were concerns.
There were some inquiries. Well, there were some women wanted to know if you needed help or like if you're available. I don't know what that was about. Owen's single? Can I have his number? I'm like, it's not like that.
It's six.
There were some guys that asked that too, but I just shot that down.
I thought you were going to say, well, I just definitely sent him the number.
After I gave him. So if you get some strange text from Roberto, don't just go with it.
Yep.
So yeah, welcome back, buddy. That's my way of making you feel at home.
Thanks. I think.
I also have a shout out to Luke Giroux and Terry. Luke Giroux for delivering Terry's care package. So thank you, gentlemen.
Very nice.
Clatchy, you got any?
I did mine. I was first, remember?
Oh, yeah, but you did it wrong.
Oh, I did it wrong. Yeah. Oh, any legitimate shout-outs, you mean?
Sure.
To all of the participants of the Hampton SNB 250 this weekend, I am looking forward to seeing all of you and shooting a good match.
That's right. This time tomorrow night, you and I will be hopefully sound asleep in a hotel.
Snuggled up in a bed.
In our own.
Not together, in separate beds. But snuggled up in a bed nonetheless.
And nonetheless, yeah.
So, awkward.
Yeah. And this time next week, we'll be recording from the charity shoot.
That's correct. I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Actually, we may not be recording Thursday night. Well, it depends how long I'm taking. Yes. Well, yes, Thursday. Yeah.
All right,
I'll be in your neighborhood on Wednesday. I'll see you here on Thursday.
All right. Well, why don't we not talk about what we're going to be doing and end the show?
Why are you talking about it?
I can hang up on you again.
You're like the government. I'm not going to talk about not doing stuff. All right. So, everyone, if you enjoy this, I'm not sure why you would.
I'm sorry.
You can find more just like it at the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. There are shows there from both sides of the border. And join any or all of the National Firearms Associations that you think haven't crapped the bed yet and are still actually doing something to help you. So help those who help you. That's a Red Ranch quote from the last episode of the Arm Scrolls Project. Help those who help you. If they're not helping you, don't help them. Flatten their tires.
We do not offer any advice on Slam Fire Radio.
Slam Fire Radio is for entertainment purposes only.
Despite any of the great ideas you hear.
Try them at a friend's house.
There you go.
Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada because CGN sucks. And like us on Facebook because we're only at 1,226 in Canada.
CGN doesn't suck, Trevor.
I think CGN sucks.
Well, that's your opinion.
I am giving my opinion.
This is Trevor's opinion.
Let me word it over. In my opinion, CGN sucks.
There you go. See, way better.
Yeah, so.
We still have listeners from CGN, and those listeners are important to us.
I'm not saying the listeners who are on CGN sucks.
It's way funnier my way.
CGN sucks.
I'm going to hang up on you again.
Some of the people who use it are fine. Some of them, not so much. And those ones, they can stop listening. I don't care. So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right. Anything else?
We're done.
All right, take some shooting.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now, go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over,
it's time to get a gun. All right, see you guys.
See you, Rod.
All right, bye.
Perfect. That'll work. Right. Excellent. There.
Still there, Rod, or did he hang up? Oh, he's still there. Okay.
He knows the drill. He knows how to do this.
Yeah, he's a professional.
He's a pro.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rod. It was better than a train wreck.
Are you sure he's still? No, he
is actually gone.
I guess he's not a professional. And that's an outtake.
Or he just knows enough to.
Knows enough to hang up.
Yeah, I'm done with these guys.
I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, not another second more than I have to. Wankers.